Yeah, I need this track on a gloomy day here in the A in the great state of Georgia. Huge MLB trade deadline to recap. We'll do that next hour with our buddy Danny Vietti of CBS Sports and the Believe Podcast Network. But right now, we got to get a boots on the ground report from our buddy Joe Patrick. Joe Patrick on Football. It's a new podcast. Make sure you check it out. Also, our Falcons insider here at 92.9 The Game. Joe, let's start with a little injury update. Sounds like we finally got the word on what's going on with our number 15 overall pick, Jalen Walker.
Yeah, he's got a what Raheem Morris referred to as a very minor hamstring injury, and I would go so far as to say it was so minor that he was actually a full participant in individual drills today. I mean, I should say he was full speed during individual drills. He was not a full participant at practice because he only did individual drills, but he was not, you know, doing those at half speed or anything. He was going full torque and, you know, getting off the ball, that kind of thing. So I think that that sets up well for him, you know, going forward from here. I, you know, just got done recording as well of the new podcast, which is coming out tomorrow. And I think that the most realistic expectation for him is for him to be back as a full participant in practice, you know, which means, you know, doing the 11-on-11 stuff probably on Monday. Next week, they practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, heading into the Friday preseason game. So it seems to me like that would be kind of an ideal schedule for him to get on. But I think that if you had fears about it, I would not worry too much about this situation right now.
When do you think we'll see Mooney?
So Mooney's going to be a little bit longer, obviously. Raheem Morris is now saying it's a couple weeks after it was a few weeks when it happened last week at the training camp opener. So we'll see. And like basically, so we were told that's not necessarily the timetable for his return, which was kind of the way it was presented when the Falcons initially kind of disseminated the information. And to be fair, the Falcons do not have to say anything about any of these injuries. So anything we get, we should be appreciative of. But basically, in this instance, they will tell us more in a couple weeks, it sounds like. They will evaluate him at that point and then determine kind of what how far it goes. But again, kind of I'm feeling similarly to this one as I was with like Jalen Walker, where it's not as big of a deal. He has been out at practice, Darnell Mooney has, kind of walking around, you know, watching the guys go through the drills and everything. He's not in a sling. He doesn't seem to have any sort of like, you know, protection on it or kind of bracing on it at all. So that to me would suggest that it's going relatively well and that it's not, certainly not some, you know, extremely long-term injury that he's got.
Sounds like Ray McLeod has been the guy that's been stepping up in his absence.
Yeah, I mean, they're rotating lots of guys through. Similarly, you know, we've had this conversation on defense where there's just, you know, the two deep is kind of just all mixed up with guys, especially when you're talking about the defensive line. And I would say it's kind of similar right now with the receivers. Obviously, you've got Drake as the Z, and you know, Darnell Mooney is the X in on this team, and so that's the role they're replacing. And Ray Ray is obviously staying on the field because he's kind of a starter as the F receiver or the slot receiver. And, you know, but he's been getting some runs in different positions. They've also mentioned that David Sills is a guy who's generally they're kind of projecting as, you know, the backup Z right now to Drake London has been getting some reps at X. Chris Blair, of course, is a guy who last year was getting some reps at X, even in the regular season when Michael Penix came up because he had a bit of a rapport with him, having played together on scout teams. So they're going to continue to kind of, you know, just test the waters, see what all these guys can do. And in general, you know, as far as evaluating some of these players who are a little bit further down the roster, it's some good opportunities for them to show the coaching staff and the front office what they've got.
In your opinion, why did they bring in another safety?
I think just for numbers, I mean, it's a pretty light room right now. Like they basically had, I'm trying to think of exactly all the safeties that they have. Because like after they cut Kevin King had basically been playing safety for the team, even though he kind of originally came up into the NFL as a corner.
Is it just kind of transitioned into a safety role?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically, yeah. And if you want to count Bowman as a safety technically, but it's kind of similar where he's kind of changed positions into like a full-time nickel situation. So yeah, it's basically Helms, Fuller, Bates, and Xavier Watts. Xavier Watts also kind of went down in practice today. Not, I shouldn't say like he got treatment on the field. Like he looked like he was getting something taped, and then he didn't participate in 11-on-11. So Again, you know, little things. Guys are going to have little injuries. Like little things happen during training camp. I almost hesitate to even mention it because some of these things are so minor and we just don't know the extent of them. Doesn't seem like a big deal, and certainly wasn't a big talking point after practice with any of the guys. But just to add numbers to that room, and I think they'll continue to do that throughout training camp. It always happens every year.
I'm talking all things Falcons with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out the new podcast, Joe Patrick on Football. James Pierce Jr. continues to make waves. Joe, what have you seen from him on the field?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the talk of camp right now. He's kind of stealing the show because for a couple reasons. One is the play on the field, like you said, like that is, you know, standout. But I think it's in tandem. It's what he's doing on the field, which is, you know, basically having a lot of success against anybody he's being put up against, whether that's Storm Norton, whether that's Caleb McGarry. They've even moved him to the other side and had him gone against Jake Matthews, and he's gotten the best of Jake Matthews from time to time. So that speaks really well, but I think one of the reasons why he's kind of capturing the attention of so many Falcons fans is because there was so much drama around him and the way that the Falcons acquired him and trading away their first round pick next year for him. And I think that the way that things have gone to this point, it couldn't really be much better. And I think that Falcons fans appreciate the fighting and the scuffling that occurred on Sunday. And I think that there's always the potential for that kind of thing to get out of hand. I think we're kind of seeing it happened a little bit in Dallas based on what I saw today on Twitter. But, you know, just in having talked to basically a lot of the players involved and the coaches involved, I think the way that it's all settled out since then has been basically the best possible scenario. I mean, I talked to Matthew Bergeron on Tuesday, whose helmet James Pierce ripped off during one of the scuffles. And Bergeron is totally cool with him. You know, he's like, this is what we want. Like, I like that kind of stuff. It's chippy. And that's the kind of, you know, mindset that we have to be ready to be in week one in a huge game against the Tampa Bay Bucs. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of fans, frankly, like it too. And so, and the other thing, Chris, is, you know, we talked to James Pierce today after practice, and I have to say, you know, there was all this talk about him, and I think maybe the concerns that teams had about whether he either cared about football or whether he, like, cared about his teammates. You know, all these different things were swirling around him. And I got to say, just like in talking to him and listening to him speak, he hasn't been anything but like kind of a pleasure to deal with, to be perfectly honest. Like, and I'm sure, you know, he's got a short temper from time to time. And, you know, things like I'm sure like he's presenting himself in the best possible way to us. But I just got to say, you know, in taking that into account, taking his teammates' comments into account, it all seems to be going basically perfect for James Pierce Jr. at this point.
It looks like Michael Penix Jr. got a little taste of reality today through a couple of bad passes in the end zone, including a pick. What did you see from him?
Yeah, he threw his first pick of training camp today. And, you know, I kind of chuckle at that because I feel like all offseason, while I think it's fair to say we've been kind of pumping him up because of what we saw and like how excited we were with what we saw out of him in those three games. But I think the national media wasn't really paying attention to him very closely and the Falcons in general very closely during that time. And then you see guys kind of, you know, pundits, analysts kind of dig into his film. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like I hear all this talk about him being inaccurate. You know, that's like the biggest drawback. He's going to have all these big misses. And he throws his first interception of training camp, you know, on the fifth practice. And it's not like he's just been checking it down to avoid interceptions. If anything, the exact opposite. The guy's been just like throwing dart after dart down the field. And this one was a bad throw. He was trying to go to Drake London in the corner. They were running the hurry up offense, like a 2-minute drill. I believe there was like 25 seconds left on the clock. They were at about the 20 yard line. You know, he tried to go to Drake London at that back pylon, just underthrew it. And Natron Brooks, credit to him, he got his head turned around and made a play on the ball and came down with it while Drake was trying to kind of break the thing up. So, you know, it was bad throw. That's going to happen from time to time. I have not been shy, for as excited as I am about Penix, I have not been shy in saying that I think that he's going to throw his fair share of interceptions. I just think the big time positive plays, the high value positive plays, are going to pretty drastically outweigh the negatives in that sense. And so I think that that's basically what we've seen in training camp so far.
Is it just me, or does there seem to be some positive momentum building around Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, there is. I mean, that first day was kind of crazy. You know, like, he caught some passes, and, you know, Penix, of course, goes into his press conference that day also and is talking about how, you know, we got the ball to KP today, you know, and they're kind of being that concerted effort. I would not say he's, like, kind of stood out as much, but I would also, you know, say that he's just not had as many reps. Like, he's not repping every single time with the offense. They're modifying his workload a little bit. I think they're being very cautious with his health because, you know, his health has been, I think, something that this coaching staff has identified as something that's kind of held him back in terms of the production and just kind of feeling the wear and tear of being a lighter tight end at that position, kind of like a lighter and thinner framed player at that position. He's much more likely to kind of get beaten up and for those bumps and bruises to really impact the strengths of his game. So I think that they're really doing their best to kind of hold him out as much as possible while still getting him the work that he needs to be prepared going into the season. And for that reason, I think it's actually an extremely smart approach by the staff. And I think that, you know, from Pitts' perspective, you know, it's reflected in the history that players going into contract years generally have some of the best performances, some of the best seasons of their careers in those years where they're trying to earn that contract. So I'd expect nothing less from Kyle Pitts this year. I think he's primed at this point to have a, you know, potentially the best year he's had as a Falcon. I know that's kind of big, and maybe not the yardage totals that he had in that first year, because there's many different ways that Penix can spread the ball around with the weapons on this team, but I think that he's going to be extremely effective.
How much have you seen from Tyler Allgeier?
Yeah, so actually I think we've gotten to see the best of Tyler Allgeier really in these first couple of, or these last couple of practices, which are the first padded practices that we've had. Now, I say that, and I should warn you, Chris, did not really have a great view of a lot of the stuff that was happening today. The only reason I really got a better look at that interception that I described was because they had turned around, were coming towards us, but a lot of the practice today was like the players were like lined up in between where media was standing and where the play was happening. So, and these are big time football players. So you just couldn't really see a lot of what was going on. So I've got to be honest and saying I didn't really have as good of an eye on what was happening today, but he made a big impression on me on Tuesday. And I would just say, generally speaking, just the way that Tyler Allgeier looks physically right now is as big and strong as I've seen him look. And like, you know, he kind of presents as that runner at this point that I would imagine some defenders are going to think twice about whether they actually want to stick their nose in against him. And I've always thought that he's been one of the Falcons' like better big play threats in the ground game because he hits the line of scrimmage with such speed, and he's got that big mass and kind of a low center of gravity that he's kind of got that stocky build. He can just easily break a tackle with, you know, he's not a make you miss back like Bijan obviously is, but he is a back that can still, you know, force as many, or, you know, many missed tackles, maybe not as many as Bijan, but still force a lot of missed tackles just because guys can't quite get their arms around those thick legs and big arms that he's got. And so I think that he and Bijan have the potential to really do something special on the ground this year.
Before I let you go, what's the latest on the kicking competition?
Yeah, so I actually had a take on this that's going to come out on the podcast tomorrow, but I'll tell you how I'm thinking about this right now, which is that I don't think Lenny Craig can win this kicking battle. And I say this saying that Lenny Craig has looked, you know, technically I think he's like one kick better. He's made one more of their opportunities than Koo has so far. And when you see Craig kick the ball, I mean, the power is there, clearly. More so than Koo, I would say, just based on the kicks that we've seen so far in this training camp. But the reason I say Koo can lose it. And so there is the chance that Lenny Craig could go into week one as the Falcons kicker if Koo does not perform during this training camp. But I say that to say Lenny Craig is untested when it comes to like the pressure that comes with an NFL kick, and especially the kicks that you need your kicker to be making, which are often the ones that literally the game rests upon at the very end. And yes, like, you know, you can do things in practice to try to build the pressure, but I don't think there's anything that can replicate the successes that Koo has had in, you know, in his past, in his career, making some of those game-winning kicks. And obviously he's missed some as well. Last year, he's not shy about saying it was obviously the worst year of his career. But I think that for that reason, Koo is probably going to have this job until they feel like he's not capable of being the kicker he's been for this team for the better part of the last several years.
Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll chat again on Monday, and we will be checking out the pod.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Patrick there, our Falcons insider. Had Joe on today because I am off tomorrow. Some special programming coming your way tomorrow night. Excited for y'all to hear that. Stay tuned. It's going to be interesting. An old friend returns to this time slot for one night only, and we'll see what shenanigans are in store. But I'm with you until 10 o'clock in my regular slot. He speaks. Alex Anthopoulos said a couple of very interesting things. Orrin and I will react to that next. Oh, boy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.